Welcome to Becoming Like Jesus, a podcast from Pure Heart Church, where we talk about what it means to become like Jesus through the messy and perfect stories of real life and real people. I'm your host, Chantel Hinnan, and I am so happy to be here with you. Today, I have with me my friend, Haley Voppenford.
Yay.
Hey, Haley. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Well, Haley, let's just start off by you kind of telling us a little bit about yourself, kind of what you spend your time doing. Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm Haley, 24, live in the Bay Area, California. I work in youth ministry. I direct junior high, so I hang out with 7th and 8th graders for a living. So super fun, love it. And my mom lives in Arizona, so that's why I'm here. And I visit you and hang out with you when I'm here. So,
yeah, you do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Tell everybody a little bit about how you and I met each other, because funny. I feel like people are like, how is one of your closest friends live in the Bay Area and she never went to school here or anything?
So. Yeah, that's the I get asked that question all the time. So we met the summer of 2017 when we both worked at Mount Hermon, which is in Santa Cruz, California.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we worked at a program called Amada. So we worked with 8th through 10th grade girls. We would have them for 2 weeks overnight at a time. So 24/7 counseling.
Intensive program with 8th to 10th grade girls. I don't know what we're thinking to sign up for that.
Everyone thinks I'm crazy when I tell them, like, why'd you do that? It was amazing. So we met. I mean, you become really close friends with, I mean, there's 5 of us mm-hmm. counselors.
Yep.
So you become close friends really quickly.
Yeah, you experience a lot of life together really quick. It's amazing what 10 weeks in a summer will do to you like that, but a lot of fun.
Oh,
and we're
yeah.
all about teaching. So Amada is beloved in Italian, right? If
I'm
remembering
so.
Correctly, I've only talked about that. I don't know how many times, but over a couple of summers, but all about teaching them what it means to be God's beloved. And you and I learned quite a bit about that ourselves over the summer.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those things where you're in town and I thought it would be fun to sit and have a conversation over a podcast. And I think that you have a lot of really good things to potentially share with some people that could be listening and to really encourage them. And so we're going to just dive right in and ask God to guide our conversation, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you think about like the last year or just the last few years, Haley, what would you say the whole podcast, the premise is becoming like Jesus. So what would you say God's been doing in your life? And in what ways would you say that you see yourself becoming more like Jesus?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think when you were talking, the first thing that came into mind is, you know, when you're making a statue or a sculpture, you're like chiseling away. And I feel like that's what God's been doing, like chiseling away so that I can become like Jesus and become who he's made me to be. So that chiseling process has been very painful and difficult. And a lot of it is him teaching me like what it means to be set free and to be set free from my past and past sin and all of that. So it's been a lot of chiseling and molding me into who he wants me to be and taking things away from my life, but then adding a lot at the same time. So
you mentioned that God's been chiseling away, that you've been set free. What does that mean? You know, we use a lot of, you know, Christianese or kind of like a language of being set free. And what has that meant for you, or what does that look like?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it's interesting, and there's so much that goes into it. But I think the biggest thing is there's just a lot of areas of my life where I've had a lot of shame. And I think a big part of that is in the area of like sexual sin, and with me struggling for a while with an addiction to pornography, and how I stopped like when I was a sophomore in high school when I became a Christian, but I never really dealt with the underlying reasons of why I struggled. And so I think this past year, or well, actually the past 2 years, since summer of 2017.
Yeah, that's where
really,
we kind of jumped into it, didn't we?
It's really when God was like, you know, you have to deal with this, and I want you to deal with it, not because I enjoy you being in pain and dealing with it and remembering all of the things that I've done and chose to do in regards to that topic, but really just wanting to free me from the shame around talking about it, around just like owning up to it around the struggles that you have after you struggle with an addiction. Like it, I mean, you can overcome it, but then there's still temptations. There's still other ways that it can creep in. So yeah, really that, I mean, that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
Thank you so much for being willing to share about that. And I know that we're probably going to dive a little bit deeper into that, but I just want to affirm you for being willing to share. I know it's not an easy thing to do. And I know a whole lot of your story. I know you've been hurt when you've shared that in the past with people in the church world. And so for you to be willing to be honest with us. And I think when we do talk about it in the church, it's usually talked about as a male issue.
Exactly.
And so there's not a lot of space for women to hear that if this is something that's been a part of your past or even a part of your present, that God loves you and he sees you and that it's okay to not be okay in that. And we're not going to stay stuck. And so thank you so much for being willing to jump into the topic. And,
of course.
So you said that you started following Jesus, right? Sophomore in high school. And you said that before you met Jesus, you had been struggling with pornography and pretty immediately you stopped. Is that kind of how that worked?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really come to this realization for a while, but I struggled with it for several years, and it started when I was super young. So it was probably around like 8 years that I struggled with the addiction. So I stopped when I was 16 at a church camp, and I became a Christian, and I came back and I was like, well, Christians don't do this, so I'm not going to do it. And I'm thankful that God gave me the willpower to stop, but the reason why I did it wasn't really rooted in love or grace or this big transforming thing. It was just like, Christians don't do this. I'm gonna stop.
And so immediately after that, you know, you're coming to know Jesus, you're kind of changing behaviors and stuff, which is not a bad thing, right? So we've talked about that before. You know, it is good to change those behaviors, and when you start to live within God's boundary lines for your life and marriage and sexuality, all of those things, good things do come from that, right?
Yeah.
But behavior modification is not really God's ideal, and that it doesn't feel like freedom to me. And I don't know if that rings true for you, but like just stopping and willpower. And what was freedom like in those years for you?
Well, it's interesting because I stopped, but I mean, for so much of my life, I just suppressed that. So I became a Christian and it was awesome. And then I stopped. So I like felt good about myself, and then I would be tempted, but I'd be like, no, I'm not going to struggle with this anymore. So I didn't really deal with it at all. And I think when it comes to, you know, the topic of being free from that, I think I've always had this bent towards like earn your stripes behavior modification mentality of, well, if I stop, then I'm going to be a good Christian or be perceived as a good Christian. And, or if I stop, then I will be free. You know, if I stop, then God will love me, you know? So I have always had that bent, and I think I just got in the rhythm of, I stopped, so I'm fine, you know, and I just never dealt with it. And so I'd never really realized that it took me a long time this past year to realize that it was leading me more towards slavery than towards freedom. You know, I was just basically following a list of, well, if I check all of these boxes of I'm going to counseling, I'm going to, I'm confessing to close friends like you and other people that I trust, and I'm reading self-help books. So all of these things, once the boxes are checked, I am going to be free from this. And free, and not just, I mean, I overcame addiction when I was 16, but I never, in terms of the aftermath of how that's affected me, I was like, well, it's affecting me because I haven't done these things. And then I did those things and I was really frustrated that I still didn't feel free. I mean, I even got a tattoo that says set free on my wrist, and I was like, well, that didn't do it either. So, I mean, there's...
Note to self, trying to get a message in, tattooing it doesn't necessarily do the job.
Right.
Right.
You know, I mean, and you see it every day and you're like, dang it, why did I do that? Because you're like... I don't even believe this sometimes, you know, I mean,
So what was the thing that made you start to, so you said you were good with just kind of like, you're going to follow the rules checklist, and this is not what a Christian does. It's not what a good Christian does. So I'm just going to stop behaving this way, right? That was your self-talk. That's what's going on in your brain at that time. And so let's just not deal with it. Not even probably realizing that there was stuff to deal with necessarily.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm an addict. I'm gonna stop.
So what was the kind of the defining moment where it was time to start dealing with some pain and dealing with some kind of the suppressed things that were kind of the underpinnings of that addiction?
I mean, so I became a Christian at 16, and then the first time I opened up to a friend about it, I think I was like a senior or like senior in high school or freshman in college. I really can't remember, but I remember I told him, and then his response was, he cried and he was like, I can't believe that you did that. And so that I just shut down after that, because I no one likes that. Like, no one likes to be rejected in that way when you're being vulnerable about an ugly part of you, you know, that I was very ashamed of. And so I kept it in for years until Mount Hermon, when you and I met, and I met the other staff there. And I think I realized, I can't really pinpoint a moment, but I think that summer in general, I know I've had community before that summer, but I think there was something about the community that we had at Mount Hermon between you and I and the other, you know, the five of us staff that, you know, lived together and worked with those girls, that I just felt safe. And I felt, you know, again, it was that time when people are like, oh, I've struggled with that too, or like, I have a similar struggle, or I have a sin that's probably equally as ugly or whatever in the Christian world too, that's like, or a sin that's very like demonized, you know, like just very much like, well, I can't believe you struggle with that. But other people had that too in our group. So I feel like it was, I just felt safe, and I felt, and then God was just kind of like shoved it in my face of like, the more, I mean, we had to tell our stories every week to these girls.
Yeah.
So as you tell your story, you realize like, there's a hole there that I'm forgetting. Like, what did I suppress? Cause there's a jump from, oh, I struggled with pornography and then I stopped, and then my life's great, you know? And I was like, that's not how it was. Like, there's something else there. And then I just started remembering more of what that struggle looked like. And like, oh my gosh, it wasn't just a 1 year struggle. It was like 8 to 10 years of my life. And so I think when I started having those realizations, and then when you and I decided to, you know, confess things that we never tell anyone to each other, I was like, afterwards, I just felt so much better. And I was like, wow, like, I never realized confession could bring so much healing.
Freedom.
And, yeah, so much freedom. And like, putting something in the light,
yeah,
gives you so much more freedom. So it was really that summer that was like a pivotal moment. I mean, and then after that summer, I continued to suppress it for a couple months, and then I graduated, and then things just kind of blew up, and I really had to deal with it and go to counseling and get help. And, you know, for a while I was still in that behavior modification, checking off a bunch of things I need to do to be free. But I realized over time, you know, I need to do this not because of like, if I do this, that I don't feel as bad or I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm like, I need to do this to get closer to Jesus.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So I heard you say safety. You felt safe.
Yeah.
You were in a safe and loving environment, community, and knowing that you weren't alone.
Yeah.
And I would kind of echo that. I think that summer was, you know, obviously God placed us there for a reason, and we did a lot of work with those girls. But I think that the relationships that birthed and some of the healing that happened as a result of just our team dynamics and the sharing that happened there, was just as much as part of God's purposes. And it was almost like this pretty quickly we got to camp. First week off the bat before we even have students. And it was really clear to me, looking at our team and stuff, that there was work that was going to be done right there that God wanted to do. And specifically healing with our relationships and some healing in the area of, you know, sexual brokenness. And it was just kind of glaring that God was not going to let it not be talked about. We didn't really have that option, living the way that we were together, you know, in a house together 24 hours a day and doing really hard ministry stuff with girls and having to be really honest about our stories with them and with each other. And so it's cool to see that process. But then, like you said, even after camp, it's like there's still more of a process there. And, you know, you did some work there, and then there's more work to be done. And I, you know, it's funny, you're talking about freedom, right?
Yeah.
And the things that you were doing to be free.
Yeah.
And I think even that language in and of itself, right, we talk about being free. Well, freedom doesn't feel like doing all these things to be free. And
right.
I think, you know, culture would tell us that freedom is doing whatever you want, whenever you want, right?
Right.
However you want. And it doesn't matter who you bulldoze to do that.
Right.
In a lot of ways, if we take that to its, you know, its kind of end that it points towards. But I think that there's another piece of what God talks about that's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not slavery, like with this list of things that I have to do. That doesn't feel free.
Right.
But no boundary lines, no nothing really doesn't actually feel free either.
Right.
That feels really overwhelming too. And so, but the working towards freedom feels pretty contradictory. And that's what I hear.
Yeah.
A lot of what, you know, I know to be true about your story, and just from what you've shared here too, like that working towards freedom seems like it, there's like a disconnect there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So what was that like for you? Cause you know, being kind of, you know, maybe more naturally inclined to be more performance based.
Yeah.
You get back from camp, kind of suppress it a little bit, you graduate, and then you're struggling again. And you know, struggling can look a lot of different ways. Sometimes that's temptation for old things, right? But sometimes it's just struggling with like the identities that, like the shame of that and all of those different things, right? These different
yeah.
weights that are still kind of clinging to you, that maybe have to do with like your behavior, right? Of like tempting
right.
you to do something to, or it could just have to do with, you know, attacking your identity, all these different things. But in that process, how did that process feel as you're coming out, you're graduating, you've done a lot of work, you've done a lot of healing, and then now it feels like you're struggling again?
Yeah, I think once I graduated, you know, I wasn't just like going to school every day and having a super busy schedule. So it just really hit me. And I mean, I was kind of working on myself when I was in college, like towards the end of college, I was kind of working on myself, but like the real work didn't start until after graduation. And what it felt like, I mean, it really, when I realized I really needed to go to counseling, like there was something wrong, but I don't know what it is, was I tried to start dating again. And the thought of it just really scared me. And I had panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And this was all over the course of 3 days. And I was on a dating app and I was like, I can't do this. Like I was freaking out. And what I realized was like, I just don't trust myself. I was like, there's so much that I was going through and so much that I'm ashamed of my past. I was like, there's no way someone could know me and love me and deal with all this, because I can't even be honest with myself about my past. And to say to someone like, oh, I've struggled with an addiction to pornography, like, are you still going to love me for it? And experiencing rejection in the past, I was very overwhelmed. So it kind of felt like I was really blindsided of like, why is this still an issue? And then going through counseling and talking to close friends, I realized like a lot of things. I realized like, wow, I didn't deal with this. There was so much underlying stuff. There's so much that I didn't realize that was like a shame trigger for me, and just so much shame. And so I think what led me to get more help was just like, I've had these uncontrollable responses. Like your body is like, I've experienced trauma in some way. And so my body was like freaking out and in protective mode of like, don't go there again. Like, don't do that. Like, you don't want to experience that rejection again. And so I was like, I need to go to counseling. I need to fix this. And that was hard, because if you want counseling to work, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be real. I mean, my counselor knows stuff that I'm like not really proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so going through that was really difficult. So a lot of, as much as I want to say like, oh, it was awesome, like counseling is so great, like
yeah.
counseling is, you know, like counseling oh. and talking to friends and confessing those really ugly things are great. Like it is, but it's really hard. And I would sometimes leave counseling more anxious, and that's not my counselor's fault. It's
yeah.
just, it was really hard to talk about
yeah. it's
some
really,
of those things.
It's hard to be honest with yourself too.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of the process. Like you said, like things that you haven't even been honest with yourself, huge process to knowing Jesus, and to growing in Jesus is also knowing who we are. And,
oh yeah.
And that sometimes isn't like There's parts of that when we start to know who we are, that's really good, of like how God's created us to be really good and has given us beautiful things and gifts and abilities. There's another side of that, we're really broken and we have some really ugly parts of ourselves that I would rather not look at and be honest about.
And again, you think like you're the only one going through it. And I mean, I have this, and you see this on social media all the time, like people graduate college, they go on these extravagant trips, they get an amazing job and they have perfect friends and like go out like once a week to the bar and they're like, oh, I'm just so happy. And so I felt like, and so put together. And then I had an amazing job after college, which is the one I have now. But I was like, why do I feel like everything's falling apart? And then I just felt like I'm the only one that feels like I'm falling apart after college, because I'm dealing with all of my past stuff and past shame. And so it felt very isolating, of like, am I the only one going through this?
What were the things that shame was telling you in that season about yourself?
I mean, that I wasn't good enough to be a ministry leader, because I'm struggling with this. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to have that part of my life figured out and done. Like, I've overcame that. I don't need to deal with the aftermath of my addiction. I've overcame that. So I think I felt like there was this image that I had to protect and didn't want anyone to see that and then be scared and run away. And I think, you know, part of it too is like, you know, no one understands, you know, just like the enemy saying like, no, no one can relate to you, or there's no one that really wants to walk with you through this. I mean, there's people that say they do, but then when they see how bad it is, you know, so I think, and then just saying that, just thinking that there's never going to be an end to this. Like, I don't.
Hopelessness.
Yeah, just like a hopelessness. Very, very dark and depressing. So it was hard just during that season and even recently to face that. There's a lot of fear and a lot of fear of rejection. And, you know, I knew the way to overcome it was opening it up, but that's hard to do because you don't know how people are going to respond.
Yeah. And I love hearing you share about this to like a bigger audience like this. And then also being one of the people that was, got to see it happening. And I don't mean that in like I was an audience member or something terrible like that, but being and walking alongside you in that, because, as you're sharing, you're saying like not wanting to tell people, feeling alone, all of those things. And I'm not saying you're perfect at this, but, you didn't always believe those lies enough to not actually be honest with people, because you had a counselor, right? But you were also, I mean, you were sharing with me a lot of that as it was happening.
Yeah.
Even when you didn't want to.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And I think for me, I thought I needed like a big community to go through this season with. And so I remember trying to find that and then realizing, and I realized this with one of my good friends at home. She was going through a rough time too. And then God led us to each other to be able to like walk with, you know, with each other through, I mean, we're going through very different things, but to be like, God in his grace is like, I know you think you need this big community to like drown out all of this really yucky stuff that's coming up, but I just want to give you a few close friends to walk with you through the season. So it was you, it was like one of my good friends, Marlo. I mean, it's been amazing how God has been so gracious, and what I thought I needed to overcome that, you know, was big community. And God's like, no, like this is what you needed. And it was exactly what I needed.
Yeah. So I hear you saying you shared about some of the obstacles in this process of healing, right? And then sharing out some of the things that actually helped you move towards that with counseling and community. Is there anything else that you want to share about that that kind of helped you move forward in that process, or anything that we haven't talked about in regards to like that healing process of kind of taking steps closer?
Yeah. I mean, I think something that was a big realization for me is that like freedom isn't just, you know, like a math equation, like community plus counseling will get you freedom, you know?
Right.
I mean, I wish it was because that'd be great as someone that loves to follow rules and check boxes as an Enneagram one. But I mean, I think for me, understanding that, you know, like the journey to freedom, I mean, I'm still on it. Like the process of that and the process of becoming like Jesus is not always pretty. And the expectation we have, like, okay, well, once I overcome this and once I do all these things, like, I'm going to feel so great. And yeah. I'm just going to be so happy and life's going to be perfect. I think kind of having that expectation crushed was really difficult. But I think now looking back and looking forward, to know that, you know, doing all those things is great. And they do help people. Like, I don't want anyone to hear, like, don't do those things. But I think, you know, this past year, I was dealing with stuff. Summer came. I was super busy directing 2 camps and just working all the time. And then the end of summer hit and I was hit with this deep depression and it was very dark. And then coming out of that, you know, and what God did was, you know, he allowed me to go to Israel and he wanted to restore my soul there, and just saying that, you know, I just want to be with you. You don't need to do all of these things to experience my grace and my love and freedom. You just need to be with me, and he wants to be with me in that. And I think for me, I always think that I need to be working on myself. Like, I always need to be doing something to work on myself. I need to be reading a book. I need to go to counseling. I need to do this. Like, I always need to be like, if I'm doing something, I'm like, why do I do this? I need to, like, figure it out. But then I miss these opportunities to be with Jesus and just be with him. Yeah. And I think, too, when you're struggling with, you know, dealing with the aftermath of an addiction, you kind of start to rely on people a lot. And the first thing you do is you text your counselor, or you text your friend, and or you go to a self-help book of, like, how to not be depressed anymore. You know, like, you do all these things, and then you're left feeling like, why isn't this working? Mm-hmm. And so realizing, you know, through the depressive season that I just went through, realizing that, you know, people can't be that for me. Like, that needs to be Jesus. And so God allowing me to experience a season of depression was actually really gracious for him to allow that to happen, because I realized, like, I just need to, like, go to God. Like, I just need to be with God. And freedom, it just looks very different for me now. I'm still doing counseling. I'm still having great community, but it's not, if I didn't do those things, I could still be free.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Interesting. A couple of thoughts or follow up things with that. I think that, you shared about community and initially wanting a really big community and thinking that was what you needed. And then God giving you just a few close people, which I think can be scary or encouraging either way, depending on where you're at with that. Cause some people out there probably are like, well, good thing I don't need a big community, and I don't want to go share all this gunk with a whole group of people. That's not what we're advocating for. We're talking about a close-knit group of people, right? Encouraging them in that. And then I think the second piece, though, is, and I got to kind of walk with you in that process over the, even recently with this, like, kind of bout of depression that you went through. And I've seen that in you, this constant, like, pushing forward in growth trajectory, like, always growing, always improving, you know, and you and I tend to be very, very similar in that. And I remember God just working on me recently, and I think I might have shared this with you, but I'm not 100% sure, but I felt like the Lord just said to me, Chantel, I am absolutely positively in love with you right now. The person you are in this moment.
Yeah.
Not the future version of yourself that you're trying to become.
Yeah.
So in this process of becoming like Jesus, right? Like, we're growing, we're becoming more and more who God created us to be. And in that process, looking more and more like love, like Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
But the good news is, like, becoming is an active, constant moving forward, right? But in the moment, the being with Jesus that you just mentioned, that God would just want to be with you.
Yeah. Like, who I am right now.
That's a present thing. That's not an active thing. That's just right here, right now. And that God sees you, all of the brokenness, all of the pieces, all of the hurt. And then he loves you right now in this moment.
Yeah.
That's what transforms us.
Yeah.
And that's what actually like makes us into the image of God, right? Like, that's what makes us become like Jesus. Yeah. So I think it's so cool that you talked about depending on community, depending on counseling, but at the end of the day, those things wouldn't, they alone didn't transform you. It was being with Jesus.
Yeah, it was Jesus that transformed me. And I'm thankful that he used those things to help with that.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things of, you know, I think I remember talking to you about this in the summer. I was doing all these things and I was like, Chantel, I'm really frustrated that I've done all these things to be more self-aware and be this amazing person. But God still hasn't given someone for me to date. You know, like, he still hasn't given me a spouse. And then you just said, well, that's not why God wants you to do those things. Like, it's not like you're going to do those things and then he rewards you. And I remember really being frustrated that you said that because it's so true. But yeah. I've always struggled with God's love for me because it makes no sense. It's not fair. Like, I don't deserve it. But knowing that even if I didn't become super self-aware, like, he still loved me then. I mean, it's great that I have become that way, but I think it's been really great to know that he loves me, you know, and people are going to let me down and, you know, people are going to reject me. And, you know, there's been a few things that I've held on to like remember through those times when stuff happens and people are imperfect, to be like, well, God's never going to let me down and he's never going to reject me. And so I think it's interesting because even if going through this whole process of dealing with my past was just, if Jesus just wants me to be closer to him and spend more time with him and I don't get anything else, if now that I'm self-aware and I'm, I'm way further along in my faith journey than where I was like 2 years ago, but even if I don't have more close friends or even if I don't get a spouse or even if I don't find the dream job that I want, like if I don't get those rewards, so to say, like if the only thing I get out of this is being closer to Jesus and understanding that he loves me just as I am, then it's worth it, you know. Like, that's amazing.
And that God would spend that much time and energy and effort and do that much to draw you to himself, that he would have you, you know, do all these different things, not because it's going to eventually do something for his kingdom or for somebody else or for him or any of that, but that he would do all that work even if it was just for you.
Right.
And now there might be these beautiful byproducts that come from that, but ultimately he would do it if it just meant being with you.
If it just meant being with me. And I mean, there's so many other things that's came out of it, but I think the idea of he wants to be with me mainly. And like, yes, there's so many other things coming out of it that are amazing, but just being with me is awesome.
And he is going to use it, right? Like, you're talking on a podcast right now. I know this is going to touch somebody, right? And and you've already been able to share your story specifically in the context of this topic, right? With so many people and have experienced so much of God using that for his good. But the purpose at the end of the day, if nothing else, is that you get to be with Jesus.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, like for the person listening that hasn't overcome it and keeps relapsing or keeps going back to the bad habit, like even if you never overcome it, like he still loves you, you know? Like, and it, not all of us will. You know, and some of us are in different stages of that. And I think that's hard. And someone can get really frustrated. Like, God, I'm doing all the right things. And I really don't want to do this anymore, but I keep doing it. You know, it's the whole like, I do what I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But it's like, Jesus still loves them. And I think it's cool as I'm sharing. I mean, I never really imagined sharing this part of my life on a podcast. I never imagined sharing it in front of like 100 students at camp. You know, like I never really thought I would ever do that. But I think it's amazing how God can use that part of my story to help set other people free or to help other people take those steps to freedom and start working on it.
Yeah. So for the person who's listening right now, who is in a lot of pain, who's experiencing shame of an addiction or sexual sin or just anything really, and they say, wow, that sounds really good, but but what do I do? You know, like, what is this?
Yeah.
What would you want to say to that person?
It's hard to not get teary-eyed when you ask that. Yeah, I just think that, like, God loves you a lot. And, like, you don't have to overcome it to be loved by God or to be accepted into his family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that. And I think, too, like, the first step you can take is finding, you know, going to counseling or finding a community. Just find somewhere where you feel safe. And if you don't feel safe anywhere yet, like, I mean, Pure Heart's a great place to go. There's a lot of churches that are good places to go. But I think reminding yourself of truth, you know, for, like, when you do confess your sins, it does bring healing, and God is faithful and just to forgive. And that it is by grace that we've been saved through faith, not by works. You know, like, you don't have to do all of these things to come to Jesus. You can just come as you are. And so, I mean, it's, I mean, I know that sounds probably cheesy, or someone listening can be like, ah, it's so cliche, but really the first step was for me just understanding those truths and really leaning into them. And it took years. And I mean, it may appear that I'm sitting here and I'm super great now, but I mean, I'm just recovering from going through a season of really bad depression, and I'm entering into a season of, like, a lot of trust in Jesus, you know?
Yeah, so what does freedom look like right now?
That's a good question. I mean, I think I said this before of, you know, my life isn't, like, perfect now. Like, I haven't just gone through all this and now I'm free, living a great life. My Instagram looks great all the time. You know, like, it's not, it's not the stereotypical freedom that we expect from me going through all this, you know? For me, it looks like reminding myself of some truths of, you know, like, when I am rejected, when I share, or when people don't react to my story in the way that I would like them to, I just have to tell myself that, you know, rejection says more about the other person than it does about me. Like, there's nothing wrong with me. Just some people aren't ready to receive certain parts about me, and that's not my fault. And so that has provided a lot of freedom for me. Also, a lot of it, just telling myself that everyone's going to let me down. And it sounds really depressing when you say it, you know, it sounds very like, oh my gosh, she's so dramatic. But it's really just like the reality of, like, my closest friends, like, whether it's you or my friend Marlo or Taylor, whoever, you can list a bunch of people.
I'm going to let you down, Haley.
But yeah, you are.
Yeah.
And, but not being mad about that, you know, like, not, and for me, not expecting my close friends to always respond the way I want them to. I mean, I only told a handful of people that I was going through depression these past couple months. And there's like 5 people I told. And not all of them responded the way I wanted them to. And for a while, I was really upset about it. But then I realized, I was like, you know, I told the people I felt like God wanted me to. And, like, it's okay if they're not responding the way I feel like they should. But really, it's just, you know, they're going to let me down. And it's not because they don't care. And it's not because they don't love me. It's just they're human. And so that's really helped me not put a lot of my hope into people and put more of my hope in Jesus, who will actually never let me down. I mean, it may appear to it if things don't go the way I plan, or like a circumstance doesn't end up the way I should. But a lot of it, what I've worked on in counseling, is working on my self-talk. And because a lot of times, it's our self-talk, what's going on in our head, that keeps us enslaved to things and keeps us captive to things. So a lot of it is me being very aware of the self-talk that's in my head and having accountability for that self-talk. And so there's just a lot of truths in scripture. I have scripture reminders on my phone, you know, like that, you know, confession brings healing in James, and like that God is faithful and just to forgive in 1 John, and just all of these reminders so that my self-talk in my head can be healthy, because that's what's going to enslave me, is the enemy influencing that self-talk.
Yeah.
So freedom today just looks like reminding myself of that. And I fall into it all the time, you know? Yeah.
So follow up there with this idea of, like, not being able to, like, people are going to let you down, you know? I think a lot of people's reaction to that, if we're just going to be really honest and we say, oh, like, yeah, you know what, at the end of the day, people are going to let me down. So then why, Haley, would I open myself up to get hurt? Like, why would I even love people? Like, why would I even show up for community? You just told me community is important and that I should do it because it's part of the healing process. But then you also said that those people are going to let me down. So tell me why I should say yes to this thing.
That's a good point. I mean, if you think about it, like, if Jesus did that, I mean, if Jesus came but was so fearful of being rejected and was so fearful of inviting people in, then, like, you know, like, the things that he wouldn't have done anything. I mean, we wouldn't even have really a New Testament. Like,
yeah,
it's just, there's a risk involved for sure all the time. But, I mean, that risk is almost necessary to take.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and Jesus risked it all. I mean, he had 12 best friends and homies, and one of them betrayed him. One of them denied him. I mean,
yeah,
it's the same mindset. I mean, I have friends that I trust, and I trust their character. And so, yeah, but at the same time, they're going to let me down. But the risk is great, but the reward is so much greater. I mean, yeah, the risk I took in trusting you with really big parts of my heart, like, that was really scary. And I had no idea. I mean, we only knew each other for 3 months. I was like, is this chick going to be in my life long term? And yeah, you were. And you are.
But you didn't know that. There was risk involved. I could have let you down.
There's risk involved for sure. And you could have easily left me down, or you could have walked away and I could have been super hurt by that.
Yeah.
But I mean, and there's the same thing when I share, I mean, on this podcast, and people are going to listen to it. I mean, not everyone's going to be super accepting of it, or people might think I'm weird, or I can't believe she's a woman that struggles with pornography, like, or that she struggled with that and struggles with lust, you know? But I mean, when I share the fact that there's been students that I know that have been able to confess to me, like, that they struggle with something similar or the same thing, like, the risk was great because they might not perceive me as a good leader, but the reward is, like, if only one person is impacted by my story and can, like, grow closer to Jesus and know they're not alone, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you get to be part of shifting the narrative of what it means to be a good leader. Because you just said, oh, they might think I'm not a good leader. Right. But actually, good leaders are vulnerable.
Yeah, and to know that you can be a leader in struggle with really hard stuff. Actually, and really dirty stuff, for lack of better words, that our culture preserves as dirty or whatever. You know, to be able to struggle with things that aren't really talked about in the church or in our culture, you know, it's hard. It's a risk. But I mean, if I didn't take that risk, I would be even lonelier.
Yeah.
I mean, we get frustrated at God for being lonely, but then we never take the risk to not be lonely anymore.
Yeah. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday, kind of getting prepared. And I remembered this quote and I'm going to share it just because I think it's so fitting. You know, C.S. Lewis, a good theologian, writer, he shared about love. He wrote a whole book about the four loves is what it's called. But the quote is, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken, but it will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But as we see with Jesus, it's worth it. It costs something. It's always has a risk associated, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And that's where transformation happens. But the good news that undergirds that in community, right? As we're talking, we kind of got a little off topic there, but I thought it was worth kind of diving into a little bit. But like you said, the good news is that we're safe within the love of Jesus. Like, that doesn't change. And it might not look the way we think. So it might not be safe in our regards of, like, it might hurt sometimes and it might not be clear and it might be really hard, right? But we know that we're secure in his love. Like, that's not changing.
Yeah, it's not. That's not going to change.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being willing to share again. I'm so glad that we get to be friends and that I get to do this journey with you. And thank you for your willingness to be honest and transparent. for people, I know that it's going to impact somebody. So I appreciate you.
Even if it's only one person.
It matters.
That's it.
God would have you do all of this just for one person.
All of it. Yeah. I mean, that's what he did for me. So.
Wasn't that conversation with Haley so great? I'm just so thankful for her willingness to be honest and vulnerable with us. If you heard Haley's story today and were just maybe encouraged, or maybe you're going through something and you're feeling a lot of shame and pain and you don't know what your next step is, we would love to help you navigate that. And so I would just encourage you to shoot us an email to podcast@pureheart.org. Again, that's podcast@pureheart.org. And we would love to help you navigate maybe what your next step might be, help you find some community, or maybe it's taking a next step and doing some counseling. We would love to walk with you in that process. And so please don't hesitate to reach out. For everyone else that's listening, maybe this week you're just kind of processing, you know, what Haley shared, and maybe a next step for you is to just thank God for his presence and that he would want to be with you, and just be intentional about experiencing his love for you this week, and maybe getting quiet for a few minutes each day and just experiencing God's love and to be reminded of that. I hope that you were encouraged, and I hope you have a great week.
Really must tell you, I do like the person that you are.